All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos, and we're going to get started with some hymn singing and some worship. Amen. All right, for those of you tuning in online, feel free to do a smartphone search on your phones for the hymn today. Our first song is going to be Nothing But the Blood, song 4-3. Song 4-3 in the red hymn, Nothing But the Blood. Amen. Song 43 in the red hymnal. Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the hope of our salvation. Amen. On the one.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
On the two.
For my pardon this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I plead. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
On the third.
Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Not
all good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
On the last.
This is all my hope and peace.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my righteousness.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, friends, in our next hymn, song 42, song 42. If you don't mind getting in your red hymnal today, and you can do a smartphone search, Saved by the Blood. Look at baby Christian. Man, looking awesome today. Yeah. Saved by the Blood, song 4-2. Let's go ahead and have a good time singing out today. Let's some little mini Kwame. Amen. There you go. How about that? All right. Song 42. On the one.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved, saved. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Saved, saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one.
Amen. On the two.
I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. The angels rejoicing because it is done. A child of the Father, joint heir with the Son.
Amen.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Save, save. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Save, save, I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one.
On the third.
I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. The Father, he spake, and his will, it was done. Great praise for my pardon, his own precious son. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Save, save, my sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved, glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one.
Amen. Good singing, church, on the last.
I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Hail to the Father, all hail to the Son. All hail to the Spirit, the great three in one. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved, my sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Save, save, I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one.
Amen. If you're saved by the blood of Jesus, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good singing, church. All right, last song here before we get some announcements and some greetings. 477 in the red hymnal, and this will be our song before we get some good fellowship, some good meet and greet, and we'll get started with today's announcements. 477 in the red hymn. Solid Rock, 477.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. On the two.
When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other sound is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. On the third.
His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. On the last.
When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Good job, everybody. Let's go ahead and stand. Amen. And greet one another in the name of Jesus. Show some love for those of you in house. All right, praise the Lord. Welcome on back, everybody, to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos coming to you live. Want to thank God for all of you who are tuning in with us on the Facebook church page or on our YouTube channel. Praise the Lord. Today we're going to have an amazing message brought to us by Brother Kwame Kedley, assistant deacon, pastor, teacher, friend guy, pretty much all-around security guard, right-hand man, and up-and-coming brother man. He hopefully one day get behind this here teaching and discipleship and all that good stuff. Amen. All right. Yeah, he was my best man too at the wedding. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. So here we go, friends. Some quick announcements as we get started for today's service. For those of you tuning in online and in-house, you can see our contact information. Feel free to reach out to us anytime. We have an amazing church secretary who will answer your phone with a sweet and Christ-like attitude, and she will redirect any messages to us. And so feel free to tune in or contact us in this particular area on the website. Our regular schedule, friends, our Sunday, we have a Sunday school starting at 1 p.m., about 30 minutes. Sunday service, 1:45. Wednesday night midweek service, 7 o'clock. And then by unanimous vote, Friday nights will now start a little later in the evening to show some love to a brother. I ain't going to point any fingers. Anyways, it was the thumb. They say the fingers. The thumb is not a finger, so that way there. Anyways, Friday night, we're going to try to push back around 7 o'clock start time. We want a brother to try to come when he can, gets off work late, and he wants to definitely join the love and fellowship. So we're going to reschedule that for 7. Our flyers say 6:30. That's okay because people operate in the worldly frame of brown time. And that just means people that are running late, 30 minutes late, so on and so forth, as they say. Now, why brown? Why not white? Why not purple? I don't know. I'm just it's one of those worldly things there, but people that are late. You can find out a little bit more about us by clicking on this here tab about our beliefs, church team. We're going to click on this prayer tab, most importantly. We would love to pray with you, pray for you. If you're a born-again Christian, that Bible commands you to be in prayer all the time, praying always without ceasing, but praying specifically for those that are in government authority, your family, your friends to come to Jesus, all those things. 1 Timothy 2 tells us to pray. If you have a prayer request, we encourage you to submit it, put it in there. Title, details, and we'd like to post it so folks around the world who click on our little cool church website can also be in prayer for you as well. Here's how to get connected, our current and future ministries. Last night, or yesterday afternoon, I should say, praise the Lord, we had a great time soul winning. That was a blessing. Brother Kwame, Brother Manny, my wife and I, we got our cool church signs. They're not here right now, but they were out there. Brother Ron came out, praise the Lord. And we're just out there sharing Jesus Christ. We believe that the power of God is in the gospel, amen. It is not with our flair, our 3D movies, and cultural music, and laser shows, and all this stuff. It is simply the preaching of the gospel. If folks don't want to get saved, it's because they don't want to believe. It's point blank. There's nothing that we can do to modify, add, or take away from the simplicity that Christ died for our sins. He was buried. And he rose again from the dead the third day. If people trust that, the Bible says it is the power of God unto salvation. God will supernaturally save them, change their life, if they're willing to trust that message. So Saturday, we meet here around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we carpool downtown to the pier, and we have a good time soul winning, passing out tracts, planting seeds, and provoke. We call it the ministry of provoke. We like to provoke other Christians to do the work of service as well when we meet them out there. Wednesday night Bible studies, tune in. One day, we'll get back to our mission trip. My wife and I are still on a hold. We're not sure of the political thing going on in Mexico. I got to get some information from my parents, but we may take a trip to Ensenada soon to go minister to the saints in Ensenada, bring a little love offering, minister to the children, and have some tacos for the Lord. Amen. I like that taco ministry. Amen. Live stream, Facebook church page. You can click on there at YouTube. We finally got the app for our new computer. We're going to start converting our past messages into audio for the podcast soon. Bible study resources and helps. You want to get some more help, more information about Bible history, Bible translation, Bible preservation, doctrines about Calvinism and all those isms and great truths from different perspectives. There you go. Great ministries we'd like to put a shout out for. And last but not least, I do want to make a disclaimer from now on. We're going to announce giving
as it pertains to announcements on the first Sunday or first day of the week. So what does that mean? We're going to announce for our church to remain faithful and giving, as the scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 16. Throughout the week, we're not going to emphasize that because it's the first day of the week that the Lord expects you to give as unto him. Amen. But if there is ever anything on your heart for a love offering, we have a little box back there where you can put in an offering and put your information there. And then you can also do it online. If you're a member of this church, please remain faithful to the Lord. It's not us. We use those finances for our rent and for the work of ministry supporting missionaries, as you can see our wall, and our scripture particular work, as we like to get the gospel out there. But if you want to give an offering for a specific purpose, you can also put that in on the envelope, and we will definitely redirect it according as well. So between you and God, we don't have a basket. We don't pass a hat right over there between you and the Lord. And so please feel free to do that as well. So other than that, friends, today we're going to have a special guest speaker, Brother Kwame Kedley, all the way from Pontiac, Michigan, coming up here to the stage. Staff Sergeant Kedley, United States Marine Corps. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on up.
All right. Well, thank y'all. First, I just want to thank y'all for showing up this afternoon here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. I want to thank y'all for everybody who joined us online for tuning in. Brother Angelo, thank you for tuning in as well. I know I got that message from you, brother. But today's message, we're just going to go through the book of Galatians. We're going to go verse by verse. There's a couple stops that I'm going to kind of like preach on as we go through the book of Galatians, chapter 1. And we're going to go ahead and use scripture with scripture to go ahead and prove what is true. We're going to prove all things. So let's go ahead and get into it. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and go to Galatians chapter 1, and we're just going to read. But before we read, we're going to pray, all right? So if you want to join me, I'm going to go ahead and start it. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for this time, this opportunity, just to be simply a vessel, God, for your word. It's you who does the work in us, God. These are your words, God. Help me, God, to write and divide them, God, as you called me to study and to do. And I pray that you give the hearers ears to hear, hearts to understand things from your word, God, so we can be edified. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read up to verse 4, and we're going to go ahead and preach just a little bit. All right, so Galatians chapter 1. Verse 1, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, keep that in mind, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, I said I wasn't going to talk before I got to verse 4, but it's very important because not of men is very important. This gospel, whom we preach, the gospel of Christ, and whom we have learned, is not of men, is not from men. Amen. Jesus Christ is the one who got a hold of Paul on the road of Damascus, and he made him an apostle, and we're going to talk about that as well. So Amen. This gospel is of Jesus Christ himself and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. All right, verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So the audience in verse 2, we see this is to Christians. This is to the church of Galatia here, just for context purposes, right? All right, so we go ahead and move right along to verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. We talked about that earlier. Who gave himself for our sins. Now, this verse I want you to really listen to. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and God the Father. So my first point I want to make here is the purpose of Christ giving himself for our sins. As you see in verse 4, it says that he might deliver us from this present evil world. So when Christ saved us, he didn't save us so we could continue to live like the world, talk like the world, dress like the world, act like the world. He called us to deliver us from this present evil world because it's evil. So there's a purpose in the gospel. I mean, when we preach the gospel of Christ, we want to preach the whole gospel. And Paul's going to talk about that in Galatians as well, and we're going to discuss it. But he wants us to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He wants us to be holy without blemish. We're supposed to be representing Christ, ambassadors of Christ. And there's plenty of scripture that we're going to go over to talk about that. All right? So don't forget, we're talking about the purpose. The purpose, right? And he states it clearly so he can deliver us from this present evil world. So let's go ahead and I want to search the scripture before I move on about not being conformed to the world. Because we can't be conformed to the world. Why would we be conformed to the world? It's against the purpose of Christ. The purpose of Christ was to deliver us from this present evil world. So once a Christian is saved, we shouldn't live like the world. We shouldn't be conformed to the world. So we're going to talk about that. All right, so I want to find my keyboard. All right, we're going to search. It's a message in Romans that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, tells us to not be conformed, right? And, brother pointed out right there, Romans 4. Let's go ahead and go to Romans 4. Romans 12. All right, so let's turn our Bibles to Romans 12 because we want God's word, not mine. All right, so in Romans chapter 12, okay, this is to the Christians, we know. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you. The word beseech means to plead. He's pleading with Christians, right? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, okay, these are fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, by the mercies of God, all the mercy that God bestowed upon us, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We need to ask ourselves, how are we speaking, walking, how our attitudes, our dress, our appearance, our the way what we do, who we talk to, is this acceptable to God? All right? Which is your reasonable service, because that is God's will. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. And we're going to go over the definition of the world. Most of us know before the ones online. We're going to talk about what is God talking about when he talks about the world. Is he talking about the plants, the ocean, and things like that? It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, Christians, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You cannot prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God if you are living just like the enemies of the cross of Christ. And so it's very important that once we get saved, we know what the purpose of Christ is. He wants us to be holy and without blemish. All right, let's go ahead and go back to Galatians, all right? And so we're going to go ahead and define this word world. And we're going to use scripture to define this word. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to go to verse 16. First John chapter 2, verse 16. What is the world, we say? God says he wants us to deliver us. It's a part of his purpose, so it's important. It's part of the purpose of God in our salvation, so we might want to know, okay, what is this world? It says, 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, all right, that's the key, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of this life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So he came to deliver you from these things. So why do we still fulfill the lust of our flesh, right? Why do we still fulfill the lust of our eyes and the pride of this life, okay? It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. So my point is, we want to make sure that we're in the purpose of God. If we didn't just get saved to live like dogs and to live like the world and be conformed to the world, but Christ wants us to be holy without blemish. We're his. We belong to him. He wants us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, right? We're his precious bride, and that's important. Don't forget why he saved you. It's out of love, but he has a purpose, and we want to make sure that we are living in that purpose, all right? Let's go ahead and continue. We're going to continue down Galatians, and we're going to take a quick preach moment in verse 7. So let's go ahead and move on. Let's go back to Galatians. As we continue on from Galatians chapter 4, we talked about that purpose. All right, let's go to verse 5. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. He's glorious. We talked about who God is, what he's already done for us, salvation, and what he's continually doing while we're living on this earth. The Bible says the inner man, right, the inner man or woman is being renewed day by day. People who are enemies of the cross, they're waxing worse and worse, and that's God's word. How is that happening? Well, just like we talked about earlier, Christ is praying for us and helping us to be more like himself. The Holy Spirit is teaching us, convicting us, right? Using other brothers and sisters to correct us, to instruct us in righteousness, right? So that we can be perfected. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants ambassadors who represent him in a proper way, okay? So to him be the glory for sure. All right, Galatians 1:6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, church, this is very important. This is to the church about preaching the gospel. We're going to really, really dive deep in that right after we read Galatians 1:7. So remember, the key is there's somebody preaching another gospel, and we're going to talk about that. Verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, and here's the key word, what pervert the gospel. So this other gospel is a perverted gospel, but it's important you understand what the word pervert means, okay? Because this is the gospel. The gospel, right, is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. So it's important that we do not pervert the gospel. We want to know what the word pervert means, and we want to know what happens to people who pervert the gospel. All right, so let's go ahead and look up that word pervert. All right, I'm going to pull it up on the screen for the online crowd as well. I'm going to go ahead and drag this over so you can check out this verse with us. All right, let's go ahead and I'm going to blow this up for you real quick. All right, so pervert, okay? What is the context? We're talking about the gospel, right? This is a perverted gospel. The word pervert means to turn from the truth. Propriety or from its proper purpose. Remember we talked about the purpose. If we're staying in context with in the chapter as God's talking about, remember we started off with the purpose of God, right? So to turn from the truth, propriety, or from its proper purpose, to distort from its true use or end, as to pervert reason by misdirecting it, to pervert the laws by misinterpreting and misapplying them, to pervert justice, to pervert the meaning of an author, to pervert nature, to pervert the truth. So what it sounds like, and I'm going to prove through Scripture, we're not just going to go just from the word itself. We're going to see how God uses it as well. But when you pervert something, right, you are deterring it from its proper purpose, okay? Because remember, the gospel has a purpose. And we talk about the purpose, how God wants us to be not conformed to this world. He wants to deliver us from this present evil world. He saved us and gave us a purpose. He saved us for a reason. All right? So let's go ahead. And now that we know what the word pervert means, as it's used in Galatians 1:7, so there's somebody preaching a perverted gospel. Now, when you think about preaching the perverted gospel, imagine, somebody's giving a proclamation of the gospel, but they're like, oh, yeah, you can continue to do what you want, right? Or you can continue to live like the world, right? Oh, just go ahead and say these verses right here, you know, or just do this here. No, they need to understand the full gospel, right? The gospel is very important. You need to know it from beginning to end so you can know its full purpose. Obviously, they need to know that they all have fallen short, all of us, of the glory of God. They need to know that sin that we have sinned against God has to be paid for. And we need to know that there is a wrath to come because of that sin. And because of that wrath to come, to avoid that wrath, they need to put their faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood as a payment for our sins. And not only that, when once one is saved, they need to understand the purpose of that salvation, which is so that we cannot be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, be holy without blemish. So when you're preaching the gospel, a perverted gospel is not the gospel, just like Paul was saying, because it's not the full gospel. It's not. It has nothing to do with the purpose. So when you take out the purpose of the gospel, that's when it can become a problem, and you can start to pervert the gospel of Christ. And it's very important because we're going to see what happens to someone when they pervert the gospel of Christ as we move on. All right, let's go ahead and go to verse 8. Check this out. But though we, right? So again, this is not just unbelievers. This is not unbelievers perverting the gospel. They're not going to preach the gospel at all. This is Christians. Because he says, but though we, as in Christians, or an angel from heaven, right? You know, you have a lot of superstitious people saying angels talk to them and weird stuff like that. But doesn't matter. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, this is what happens. Let him be accursed. Now, we're going to talk about that word accursed. So the way we're going to talk about this word accursed, we're going to look at a definition. Then we're going to go over a couple of scriptures about what happens or what is the response to accursed people. All right, here we go. So let's go ahead, go to the definition, accursed. We're going to go ahead and pull it up on the screen here so you can see it. All right. Let's go ahead and use the 1828, the English tongue, Webster 1828. And now let's go ahead and see what it says. So here I love how this dictionary quotes a lot of Bible principles here. So we're going to read both, but we're going to really focus on the second meaning. All right, but let's go ahead and read both. Thanks, babe. Oh, my wife helped me out. Appreciate it. All right, so we meant to hit accursed. All right, so we're going to go ahead and go to accursed. And 1 second. Accursed, right? There it is. Okay. All right, so for accursed, 1828, we're going to focus on the second definition, all right? But again, the first definition I do see in Scripture as well, all right? But the first definition is doomed to destruction or misery, all right? You can read that in John 6, you can also, in John 6, you can read that, all right? But then the second one, it says, separated from the faithful, cast out of the church, excommunicated. Now, this is important. The reason I believe it's the second definition is because of a couple scriptures that really talks about what it means to be accursed. Okay? Now, key word is separated. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 9, verse 3, and see how one being accursed from Christ, which Paul was in context, was talking about his brothers in the flesh who weren't saved. And he was saying that he wished that himself could be accursed from Christ. We're going to go there real quick. Then we're going to go to a couple Old Testament scriptures so we can learn what does it mean to be accursed. All right. So let's go ahead and stop first at Romans chapter 9, verse 3. All right. So in Romans chapter 9, verse 3, as we stated before, it says, Paul, let's go ahead and read verse 1 and 2 so we can get some context. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, Paul says, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continuous sorrow in my heart. So you have Paul with great heaviness and continuous sorrow in his heart. Why? For I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And obviously, who are the Israelites. So here you see that separation, as we've seen in that definition, a curse from Christ, right? Let's go ahead and look at two more verses. We want to be sure, right? So, and you'll see God throughout time teaches us to abstain from things accursed. And so if one is accursed before preaching the perverted gospel, God says abstain from that accursed person. And you'll see that. You'll see in Joshua, let's go ahead and go to chapter 6, verse 18. God wants us to abstain from things that are accursed. And in the context that we're reading in Galatians, when somebody's preaching a perverted gospel and it's not the gospel of Christ, not the full gospel with its purpose, again, God tells you that person is accursed, and he repeats it twice. So let's go to Joshua 6:18 so we can see how God wants us to respond to things accursed. All right. Let's go to Joshua. There we go. And we're going to go to chapter 6, and we're going to go to verse 18. All right. So we see here in Joshua, right here, but we'll read 17 and 18 for context. All right. It says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent." Check this out in verse 18. "And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the cap of Israel a curse and trouble it." So as you see, we see the definition of separation. We see when Paul was saying accursed, remember, separate from Christ. We see in Joshua, God is saying to keep yourselves separated from that accursed thing. Let's go one more. Joshua chapter 7, verse 13. And why is this important? Because not everybody is preaching the gospel of Christ. We don't want to take the gospel for granted. We don't want to pervert the gospel because, again, it's the power of God unto salvation of everyone that believeth. This is how one can be saved and born again. We want to make sure we got it right. All right? Let's go to Joshua chapter 7, verse 13. This is another example of how God responds to things accursed and how he expects us to respond. "Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you." So, why is this important to Christians today? You need to make sure, God tells you to separate yourself from people, when it comes to in a certain context. For example, Christians who are living contrary to the word of God, he tells other Christians to avoid people who call themselves Christians, but they live like the devil. And here, he tells us to separate from Christians who are preaching a perverted gospel. That's an accursed thing. So we want to make sure we understand how to respond to things that are accursed. Okay, let's go ahead, and we're gonna talk about what can cause somebody to preach a perverted gospel. Okay, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 10 as we continue down. We're going to pick up where we left off, but we're going to make a stop at 10 once we get there. So let's go back to Galatians real quick, and we're going to continue where we left off, and we're going to make a stop at 10. All right. So let's pick back up right here, verse 8. We just read about being accursed. And then he repeats it in verse 9, Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. He repeats it and says, "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, and then that ye have received, let him be accursed." Very important. And then we go ahead and we go to verse 10. It says, Galatians 1, 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." And it's very important because when I think of that verse, there's a couple examples we're going to see as well in Scripture. But the gospel is offensive, right? It's offensive to our flesh. It's offensive to those who are perishing. And so if you're trying to please somebody, flesh, you're not really going to preach the gospel as God tells you to, because it's offensive. You're not going to please them. The gospel is not going to be pleasing to the flesh. And so we want to make sure that we understand that the gospel is offensive, and we can prove that in Scripture. And if you're trying to please a person, you may pervert the gospel. You may not tell them the whole thing. You may not tell them that there is a wrath to come, that God is angry with the wicked every day. You may not tell them that that they need to be, you know, born again and because of their sin. And so we don't want to sugarcoat the gospel. We want to give them the full gospel, because a lot of times you hear of Christians who live ungodly. And, you know, obviously myself as well, when I first got saved, thinking that, okay, I'm saved. All right. And, you know, having kind of a, you know, I call it like babes in Christ. You know, we get excited. We're like, yes, I'm saved. But we don't really know how to live for God. We don't know the purpose of God saving us and what God expects afterwards. We kind of just do our own thing, and we can find ourselves back in the muck, a dog eating his vomit. And maybe if somebody told me, maybe if I continue to learn and to study Scripture, I can learn that God wants us to be holy without blemish. He didn't save us. He saved us with a purpose, right, to deliver us from this present evil world. He wants us to be holy and without blemish. So we're going to make sure we're giving that full gospel. And don't be ashamed out there. You know, if they're not pleased, right, they get offended, that's fine. You continue to serve Christ. You can continue to do what God has called you to do. So just be mindful. It can be offensive. But don't fold. Don't fold. Continue to serve Christ. All right? All right. So coming next is an example of a zealous man who was zealous of the man-made traditions. Again, he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and repented and pleased God. And we're going to see that. So let's go ahead and continue in Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. All right. It says, "For I neither received it of man," we're talking about the gospel, "neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it," okay, "and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace," all right, I'm going to stop there. So we see first, Paul the Apostle, he's zealous. He's zealous of what? The traditions of his father, right? He profited in the Jews' religion, okay? And so we see here that there was no gospel there, right? There was no pleasing God there. But when the Lord stopped him on the road to Damascus, and we might just go there and check it out, but when he stopped him on the road to Damascus, he blinded him for those 3 days. He let him know that he is God and that he was persecuting his church. Again, when he realized that God was pleased and revealing his son in him, he said, forget all that zealous traditions of men. He said, forget all these Jewish traditions and, you know, traditions of his fathers. And we're going to see that. So in verse 16, it says, I'll read 15 to 16 one more time. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." So I want to show you that what pleased God. It pleased God to reveal his son in him. God was pleased to reveal, the God the Father was pleased to reveal his son in Paul the Apostle. But was that it? He just revealed his son and Paul just wanted to live like the world? No, there was a purpose. I mean, that's what we're kind of talking about in this chapter. "That I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." So he didn't go back to the tradition of his fathers. He didn't go back to all those zealous worldly things that he was doing, things that were of man and not of God. God was pleased to reveal the son in him, and he went and did and fulfilled the purpose that God called him to do. And that's what we should all be doing, fulfilling the purpose of what God has called us to do. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be ambassadors for him, and we're going to go over that as well. All right. So let's go ahead and continue. The next point is the church glorified God when they heard that Paul is preaching the gospel of Christ now, and we're going to see that. So let's continue. So he conferred not with flesh and blood, verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, right? Because he got the word from God himself. We should all be getting the word from God himself in the scriptures. We need to search the scriptures and see if what anybody is telling us is true, as God says. Then he says, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, Paul says, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. So these are saved people. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past, so he has a record, persecuted them in time past, now, because of Christ, preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And because they heard that, it says they glorify God in him. So why is that important? Because we as Christians should be setting an example for other Christians. We should also be making sure that we have a good report amongst those that are without, the Bible says. And what really caught their ears is when they heard of what Paul was doing, right? If Paul just got saved and did nothing, there would be nothing to hear of, right? But because he got saved and continuing the purpose that God saved him for, they heard it and God got glory. So we want to make sure that us as Christians, that we're just not, we don't just get saved or, by some type of confession and then live like the world. Because what we're doing is we're blaspheming the word of God. So what can happen is if we, either we're going to blaspheme the word of God or we're going to live a life that gives God glory when they see you living it out. So it's very important. You know, you can hinder or mislead other Christians by the way you live, right? Or you can be a blessing and edify the Christians by the way you live. And same thing with unbelievers. They're people too, just like us. And they can see the hypocrisy if you're not living it out. And so we need to make sure that we understand that God saved us for a purpose. He wants us to be holy without blemish, his bride. He cleansed us. He gave us the power to be separate and not be conformed to this world. All right. So let's go ahead and let's talk about the preaching of the cross being offensive, because in context, yes, Galatians is mainly talking about the gospel here, that some people were perverting it. We talked about perverting it. They were teaching it not according to its purpose. They weren't rightly doing it. So let's go ahead and go to Romans chapter 9, verse 33, and we're going to see how the cross can be offensive. So Romans chapter 9, verse 33 really shows us how the cross can be offensive. All right, so, and don't fold. Again, don't fold, because it can be easy to fold, because you might want to please that brother or sister who's getting offended for the gospel's sake. But again, though, it's offensive, right? Continue to serve Christ. All right, let's go ahead and go to 9, verse 33. All right, so in Romans chapter 9, verse 33, the Bible says, as it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Jesus Christ can be offensive, and we're going to see in Galatians chapter 5 as well for a little bit more specification there. All right, and we're also going to see a little bit in the Old Testament how it can be offensive as well. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 11, what does it say? And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. So you see there that the cross is supposed to be offensive. It's offensive to our flesh. It's offensive to our pride. It's offensive to our lust. And the reason it's offensive to our lust, because the flesh wants to continue in that sin. It doesn't, you know what I mean? People know what they want. If they want to continue in sin, right, if they want to continue in iniquity, right? They're not going to come to the cross. You got to be willing to repent of whatever you're doing, to be right with God, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is going to keep his promise and save you. But again, though, once you're saved, he gives you the power to live holy. He gives you the power not to live like the world. And that can be offensive to some people. All right? Let's continue. All right, go ahead and read 12 too. I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. Look at that. We have to avoid some people. Let's go ahead and see what Paul the Apostle was quoting from the Old Testament, and that's going to be Isaiah chapter 8. All right, in Romans chapter 9, verse 33, what Paul was quoting, we can find in Isaiah 8. I'm going to show you that real quick. And just a reminder here, 33, when Paul was saying, as it is written, when he's quoting Old Testament, the rock of offense. All right, let's go ahead and go to Isaiah 8 now. And we can see, what was he quoting here? And again, what we're talking about is just how the cross can be offensive. But don't pervert it. Don't pervert it. All right? Continue to keep it solid out there. All right? Oh, sorry about that. Isaiah 8, verse 13. What does it say? Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gen and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Because again, the gospel is the finished work of Christ, right? And people with pride and who have these different statures, they oh, I'm good, I do this, I do that, I do that, I do that. But again, our righteousness is of filthy rags, God says, and the Father is only pleased in his Son. And so if we want to be right before the Father, just like we should know as Christians, which I'm sure everybody here does, that we are saved by his grace through faith. And like Brother Carlos was saying earlier, it's Christ, his faithfulness, that keeps us. Because the reason that we're able to live this way is because Christ is keeping his word. He says that inner man is being renewed day by day. Like he said, Christ is beseeching, is praying on our behalf. And so that's important. And that can be offensive to people with pride, right? People who say, well, I do this, or, you know, I am of this, whatever you claim to be. Again, though, God is no respect of persons. He doesn't care about that. He cares who humbles themselves and put their trust in his Son because they're sinners. All right, very important. And a couple things I'm going to go over is kind of like the exhortation. So, again, this is mainly for Christians, right, as you can see. And Galatians chapter 1 is to Christians. And we're going to go ahead. We're going to talk about being an ambassador for Christ. So we know, and again, the point of this message is our purpose. Let's make sure we walk in according to the purpose that God has called us to walk in. Walk worthy of the vocation, as God says, and we're going to see a couple scriptures on that. And these scriptures are here to encourage you as Christians to fulfill your purpose, right? I'm going to go ahead and search a couple scriptures here for some good edification, some good exhortation here. All right. Let's go ahead and go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. So I searched it right here. And again, we're talking about now Christians. We understand we're saved by grace through faith. That's a blessing. Praise God. And he gave us a purpose. Okay? And we need to walk according to that purpose as Christians. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul is, right, in this context, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. With all lowliness of mind, I'm sorry, well, that's another scripture, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, and devouring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So you see that? For there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. We have a calling, right? There's a way that God wants us to live now that we're his. We're a part of his body. God does not want us to blaspheme his word, and we can do that. We want to make sure that we're walking in that calling that God has called us to do. Now we're going to talk about being an ambassador for Christ. All right? Being an ambassador for Christ. Because it's important we understand, I'm trying to get you to understand, now that you're saved, who are we? What should we be doing? Are we fulfilling the purpose of Christ? All right, because it's important to him. He says it in Scripture, and we want to make sure we're adhering to that. Okay? Let's go to, where is that? Here we go. Still in Ephesians, but let's go ahead and go to chapter 6. Okay? Let's go ahead and go to chapter 6. And he's going to go ahead and go down to verse 20. All right? So Paul's talking to Christians in context here. We're going to start at verse 19. All right, it's important. It says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. All right? So you see here Paul being an ambassador. In another scripture, it tells us that we are all ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're representatives of Christ. And we want to make sure that we understand that we need to speak boldly as we ought to speak the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. I want to show you another scripture that shows that it's not just Paul that is ambassador. All right. If I can find that. Maybe a brother can help me out. That scripture that tells us that we're ambassadors for Christ. All right, let's go to another scripture here that talks about the reconciliation. Because God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And we're going to see that in the text here. Here we go. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. And we're going to go to chapter 5. We're going to talk about this call and this purpose God has given us, okay? Look at that. There it is. We're going to read 19 through 21. Praise God. You know what? Let's go ahead and get a little bit more context. Let's start at 16. We're going to read 16 through 21. We're going to see how that we are ambassadors. And we've seen what the ambassador, Paul being an ambassador, was doing, right? Preaching the gospel that he may speak boldly. But I want to show you that we are ambassadors as well. All right? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ..." And we can all raise our hands. We're in Christ. "He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Right? We get excited when we hear that. But let's continue. Praise God for that, for sure. Praise God. Let's continue. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us" what? "The ministry of reconciliation." Well, what is that? Well, here it is. Next verse. To witness that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us as Christians the word of reconciliation. And as we talked about being an ambassador, verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So you see, church, the point is, God has given us a purpose. I'm going to continue to say it. God didn't just save us so we can live like the world. God saved us, made us ambassadors to preach the gospel of Christ for a fallen world, an enemy of the cross, to be reconciled to God. We're his ambassadors. We need to examine ourselves to see, what type of ambassador am I? Like, am I fulfilling the purpose of Christ, right? Or I just did get saved, thank you, God, and continue to live a life that's really not acceptable according to God, and to live a life that blasphemes his word. And it's very important. I like to speak on this because it's important to me, because I think I said in another sermon before a while back, how that an unbeliever, you know, sometimes I hear when we're witnessing out there, an unbeliever may say, yeah, well, this Christian or, you know, that Christian and is doing this and that. And that's a shame. That's a shame. I'm not saying I wasn't there. You know, I've done my fair share of ungodliness. I still fall short. I still have my sin and my thoughts and things like that, right? But what should be happening is we should be growing. We should be growing. We should be sowing to the Spirit, and we should be reaping those things like that peace, that love, that joy, things like that. But it's up to us. Are we gonna serve the flesh, or are we gonna serve God? Because God tells us clearly what our purpose is, and he tells us he wants us to be holy. All right. So now we're gonna talk about here just defining the gospel. Because if we stay in the context here of Galatians chapter 5, we're gonna see that the whole purpose of this. I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 1. Sorry about that. We'll see the whole purpose of this chapter. It's just talking about there's somebody preaching a perverted gospel, and maybe why they're preaching a perverted gospel, because they're trying to, you know, maybe please man, maybe, and it just goes into depth on what the gospel is and the purpose of the gospel. So that's why if I was to name this sermon something, it'd be more of the purpose of the gospel, because once you get saved, God has a purpose and he wants you to walk in that purpose as an ambassador, preaching the ministry of reconciliation, being holy and without blemish, and that is the purpose. God saved you for a reason, not so you can live like the world. All right, let's go ahead and go to, let's see, what is the gospel here? Let's go to, I know I'm bouncing around a little bit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, though. We're just going to define the gospel. Most of us know this, but we're just going to define the gospel right here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So we talked about the purpose of the gospel. We're just going to go ahead and define the gospel real quick. And then we're going to end on, after we go over about four more verses, we're going to end there. All right, so the gospel here, right? So you know, all Christians now, you know, no excuse, you are called to preach the gospel. I'm called to preach the gospel. We are ambassadors for Christ. We shouldn't be living like the world. We should be preaching the gospel of Christ, for people to be reconciled to God. But again, you can't preach it if you don't know what the gospel is, right? So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All right. So the Bible says in verse 4, let's go ahead and go all the way up. Sorry about that. Let's just start from 1. All right. Moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye have, and ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Here it is. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Here it is. How that Christ died for our sins. See, for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, and then of 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present at that time, but some are fallen asleep. All right, and then it talks about the witnesses there. So that is the gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection that is basically the work of Christ. Christ put on flesh. He paid for all the sins of the world because he's the creator. He can do that. He paid for our sins with his own blood. And he made us a promise that whosoever shall believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So Christ paid that price for us because that price had to be paid for. And so that is the gospel. But remember, he saved us and he has a purpose for us. And that purpose, like it says in Galatians chapter 1, it says that to deliver us from this present evil world. Okay, so we shouldn't be living like the world. We shouldn't be conformed to this world, right? We should be living a holy life. Okay, so let's go ahead and just end with those purposes real quick. And I'm just going to show you some more scriptures that talks about purpose. Then we're going to close. So Galatians chapter... No, we already read that. Let's go to Titus. Titus chapter 2. I'm going to go to verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. All right, this is very important because the reason I chose to hone in on this because not all Christians are fulfilling the purpose that God called them to do. And, you know, we try to edify one another in love, but I hope and pray that this is a good provoke. I hope and pray that this reminds us of our calling, that we want to walk in that calling, and I hope it provokes us to continue to fulfill the purpose that God has saved us for. All right? Let's go ahead and go to Titus 2:11, and we're going to read through verse 15. All right. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." So praise God for his grace. And I'm going to show you how it's his grace that leads us to repentance as well, which we should be definitely repent and believe on Christ. But here it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, right? He came to deliver us from this present evil world. You know, now that we're saved by his grace through faith, God says it's his grace that leads us to repentance. We repent, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be denying ungodliness. We should be denying worldly lusts. We should be living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And as we continue all the way down to verse 15, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, right? We're looking forward to the appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, as Christians. We shouldn't be, you know, I'm not saying don't vote or anything crazy like that, but Jesus tells us clearly, like, you know, as Christians, as his church, he says, don't entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life so we can please him who has called us to be a soldier, okay? He wants us to be the ambassador, a soldier, holy, without blemish, separate from these things because we have the power to do so now. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He shed his blood on that cross. He's given us the Holy Spirit. We have access to the Father through him now. We have the power of prayer. We have his words inspired and preserved. He gives us everything we need to fulfill that purpose, to live that holy life, to live that godly life in this present world, right? Verse 13, and I already read that. Let's go ahead and go to 14 to 15. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So again, we see the purpose here. We see the purpose, right? He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, Christians, zealous of good works. Okay? Again, the purpose. Christ needed to get on that cross, right? And he didn't go through everything he went through so we can live like the thing that he shed his blood for. He saved us for a purpose. Verse 15, these things speak and exhort. Hopefully you've been exhorted. And rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. All right? you tell Christians, tell yourself, check yourself first, tell other Christians that, yo, man or woman, we need to make sure that we're living a holy life because Christ went down on the cross, shed his blood for us to continue to live in sin. He wants Epicurean people, zealous of good works, and that's part of his purpose. All right, last two verses before we close. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to go to verse 19 and 21. Hopefully this is provoking. It's very important. We want to make sure that we check ourselves, examine ourselves, make sure we're living according to the purpose of the gospel. There's a purpose. Christ didn't save us so we can live like what he delivered us from out of, right? Let's go to chapter 2, and then we're going to go to 19. Let's go to 19. All right. So 2 Timothy 2:19, the word of God says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." Period. "And let every one that nameth the name of Christ," I'm a Christian, "depart from iniquity." It's clear. If you're saved, you got saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, depart from iniquity. That is his purpose. He wants us to be separate from this present. He came to deliver us from this present evil world, he said. If you're saved and you're a Christian, depart from iniquity. It's so clear. It doesn't get any clearer than that. "But in a great house," this is the fact of the matter, though. "In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth." What is he talking about? He's talking about honor and dishonor, right? You'll see. "And some to honor and some to dishonor." And here's where he breaks it down right here. He's talking about Christians here. "If a man or woman purges himself from these things, all the iniquity," we know all the iniquity that the scriptures tells about. "If a man therefore purges himself from those things," because Christ came to deliver him from those things, "he or she shall be a vessel unto honor. He or she shall be sanctified. He or she shall be meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work." Do we see that? So I'm telling you right now that Jesus Christ, he does not like lukewarmness, right? I know we all fall short, but we should be growing. And my hope and prayer is that we are. And I thank y'all for those who are, you're going to church. You're being a godly husband, godly wife, godly brother or sister in Christ, right? You're changing your speech. You're changing your walk. And you're being sanctified. You're abstaining from those things that Christ came to deliver you from, and that's walking in his purpose. You're studying to show yourself approved, right, so you can write the divided word of God. And so my hope and prayer and my exhortation, just like the scriptures say, is that we fulfill that purpose. We walk it out like the Lord called us to do. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I hope and pray that your words have been a provoke and encouragement. And, sometimes rebuke and correction, instruction and righteousness, God, as is meant to do. God, help us, God, as your church, God. Live a holy life, God. Help us not to blaspheme your word, God. Help us to fulfill that purpose, God. You saved us, Lord Jesus Christ, so we can be holy without blemish. No one here is faultless, God. But, God, I know that inner man's been renewed day by day because of you, God. I pray that you help us and all the hearers that are listening, God, who are saved, God. Go ahead and continue in that righteousness, God. Continue to be separate from worldliness, God. And I pray that those who aren't saved, God, if they have heard the grace of God in the gospel, that they would believe on you, Lord Jesus Christ, so that they too can experience, God, salvation in a holy walk, God. These things I ask, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.